for your grace. We thank you for what you have done for us. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd use the word of God to challenge us and direct us to make us more like you. And also pray, Lord, for those here, if there is someone who does not know you, that you'd use the word of God to bring them to that place where they'll come to trust in you. Again, Lord, we thank you for what you'll do in our midst. And I pray you just give me the words and the wisdom to preach. Thus saith the Lord with boldness at this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most important decisions you'll ever make is to be risen with Christ. And what does that mean? If one ever hopes to see the splendors of heaven, one must not simply just live a good life. They must know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross. He's buried and rose again so that you could have everlasting life and have life more abundantly. To be risen with Christ is important. The truth is, unless you're born again, unless you've been risen with Christ, you will die in your sins. This is a truth that the Bible teaches us. So this is a condition we all have. We are sinners. The wages of sin is death. This is an awful state that each and every one of us are born into. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and following, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." The Bible says all are dead. That is a current state for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're without hope. But the hope that we have is found in a risen Savior. The hope that we have is being risen together with him. If ye then be risen with Christ. Only those who accept the finished work of Christ and what he did are made alive and have life more abundantly. But this life is only the beginning when one receives Christ as their Savior. For now they live a new life. A life not for themselves, a life not to please oneself, but now a life to please God. And so the Bible says we are to set our mind on heavenly things, not on things of this earth. The things of this earth are temporal. One day we'll spend an eternity somewhere. And for those of us who know Christ, we'll spend an eternity in heaven, where we will get to be with our Savior forever and evermore. Loved ones who've gone on before us will get to meet them again if they knew Jesus. Things will be different. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. All those things come to an end. But with that hope in mind, we must live a life here on this earth to please our Savior. And we must put off the old man and put on the new, which is made possible by the work of God in our lives. As we look at being risen with Christ this morning, I want us to first look at seeking to be risen with Christ. Seeking to be risen with Christ. A remarkable transformation occurs when one places their trust in Christ. They raise up from the dead and receive life. Those who know Christ or have come to know Christ can testify to you the change that Christ brought to their life. The difference that God makes is clearly seen, or ought to be clearly seen, in the lives of those who know Jesus. I can tell you the life I used to live before I knew Christ was a life for self. I looked to enjoy things in this world through many avenues, but it was not the right avenues. I lived an ungodly lifestyle before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ, before I trusted him at the age of 16. But when Christ, who is my life, when I trust in him for the forgiveness of sins, my life changed. The things I used to say, I didn't say them anymore. The things I used to do, I didn't do them anymore. I used to have improper communication that would come out of my mouth, foul language and other things. You would probably say, I can't see someone like you ever talking improperly. But it's true. I can't see someone like you living a life in sin. But it was true. But what made the difference in my life, that kept me from off the streets and enjoying the pleasures of this world and drugs or in money and immorality, what made the difference was Christ changed my life. Because I trusted in him for the forgiveness of my sins. This change is visualized in Romans chapter 6. Turn there if you would. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 2. Romans chapter 6, we'll begin reading in verse 2. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 2, God forbid, how shall that we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism is a picture of that change, the change that occurred in my life. I was once dead, but now I'm alive because I've been risen together with Christ. Christ has made a difference in my life. It is through Christ that we stand justified before God. No man can in of himself, by himself, do good enough in order to enter into heaven. The Bible says and makes it very clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has made a way. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That gift is found in his Son, the Lord Jesus. Our sins separate us from God, but we've been forgiven because of the victory that Christ has given. We receive this free gift that is offered by God by placing our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. This is being born again. This is what Jesus meant when he spoke to Nicodemus. You must be born again. He says, you need to get things right with God. You need to be alive. Right now, you are dead in your sins. And to be made alive is to believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when one does so, a miraculous thing occurs. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible makes it clear in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, that we are made a new creature in Christ. Christ has made us new. That is why my desires changed after I placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The Bible speaks of this becoming a new creature is the work of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and following, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The work of Christ when it comes to salvation is already done because Christ has done it. But in order for someone to receive that atonement, to receive that forgiveness, they need to place their trust in God for forgiveness. And one will only do so if they understand that they are a sinner. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse 11. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse 11. The Bible says in Matthew 9, verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy, not sacrifice, for I am come to call, not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus, when he was here on this earth, his desire was to seek and to save that which was lost. His desire was to give people the opportunity to turn away from their sin and to turn to God. He made that very clear in his life. He said, I'm here to do my Father's will. And his Father's will is made clear in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus says, this is why he came. He says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. People without Christ are sick. They're in sin. They're without hope. And Jesus says, I'm come not to call the righteous. He's speaking to those who proclaim self-righteousness. He says, I'm come not to call the righteous to repentance, but those who are sick. And he's speaking of the people's need for salvation. He said, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. Sin is a condition of the heart which you inherited from your father, going all the way back to Adam. And that sin is evident in our lives through when we say things that are mean to others, when we take something that doesn't belong to us when we're children, or even as adults, we steal. When we have those improper thoughts about certain things and we have this wrong ideas about things, it is sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You can be the best person. You can try your best, but you're still going to fail somewhere. And the Bible says that when you fail, when you break the least of commandments, when you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And I say that to testify to you, then tell you this, is simply this. There's no going away from the fact that we're all sinners. We make mistakes. We do wrong things. But I'm not here to put you in a place where you think that that's it and we're done. I'm here to let you know that even though we're sinners, Christ died for our sins. We have hope. We can have eternal life by placing our trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, for when you were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That doesn't matter how awful you've been, Christ died for you, the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet peradventure for a good man would some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This was the love of God in action. This is what I mean by seek to be risen with Christ. I'm testifying to you this morning, if you do not know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you know you're a sinner, you know he loves you, and you've never accepted him, then believe in him today for the forgiveness of sins. Not only do we seek to be risen with Christ, but that is truly just the beginning. We first must seek to be risen with Christ to begin the Christian life. After that, we must change our focus by setting our affection on things above, which brings me to my next point. Set your affection on things above. Christian, those of you who know the Lord, where is your mind this morning? Where is your focus? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and following, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not in all yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The moment we changed, we begin to change. The moment Christ changed my life and made me a new creature, things started in a different direction. And it began with my mind not focusing on now, the here and the now, and the temporal, and the things of this earth. My mind began to think about Jesus' love, what he did for me, and now how can I please him? How can I please the one who saved me? Set your affection on things above. Our goal or mindset should be on the eternal and not the here and now, which leads to the mortifying or putting the death of our members, which I'll speak on in just a moment. But before we can put off the old man, put on the new man, we have to change our focus or put our focus somewhere else. The Bible speaks of this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 and following, where it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." And so God says, Christian, he says, for you who are saved, change your focus. When you were without Christ, your focus was here on this earth, how to lay up for yourself treasures, how to benefit yourself, how to get ahead financially, how to climb that ladder. But now we have a different focus. It's not about the here and now. It's about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And we do that by changing our actions and our motives, and we doing things for God instead of for ourselves here on this earth. Don't let money make your decisions, but rather let God make your decisions. Let God change your mind. The best way to do this, very simple, but it goes without saying, is to simply read your Bible and pray every day. Grow, learn, so that your mind is focused not on the things of here and now, but things up in heaven. Which brings me to my last point, and I'll be done. When one is focused on Christ, is mindful of what he has done, he will then begin to change, because God has already changed him. He'll begin to then change, not just inwardly, but it will result in on his outward. There'll be a difference. There'll be removal of the old life. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." One day Christ is going to return. For those who know him, one day we're going to be with him in glory. But because of that hope, because we know that's going to happen, one day we're going to be with Jesus, the Bible says this. It says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And this is saying, your body, yourself, don't let your heart control you. Let God control you. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." My Bible says put off or mortify, put to death, fornication, uncleanness. This is improper relationships before marriage, or these the world's way of enjoying themselves. The Bible says you put that off. Don't let that be part of your life. And then it goes on to say to put off also these. Put off all these. It begins with anger. The Bible tells us to put it off. The anger is a deep, settled feeling of hostility or resentment. The Bible says you cannot have that type of feeling. To put it off. Don't let it be don't let it be part of you. Wrath. What is wrath? The Bible says we're to get rid of this. This is a sudden, passionate outburst of anger. Someone cuts you off in traffic, and you just have that intense desire to respond with wrath, or the outburst of anger by and your response. They call it road rage. The Bible says, put that off. Don't let that be a part of your life. It goes on to say malice. This is desire to harm or see others suffer. Sometimes you think to yourself, when someone does hurt to you, you are waiting for that moment that they get theirs, or you want them to suffer as well because they've harmed you. And the Bible calls this malice. It says, Christian, don't be that type of person. When someone hurts or harms you, you pray for them. You be like Christ. You show love to the unlovable and the sinner. Blasphemy, speaking evil or slanderously against God or others. When it comes to blasphemy, sometimes we might look at our circumstances or things in our life. We might be tempted to speak evil against God, but God says, put that off. Don't let it be a part of your life. And filthy communication. This is foul, obscene, or shameful speech. Any kind of corrupt talk. The Bible says to put that off. And so I say to put off these things and mortify. But you can't just remove things and expect it not to come back. And God has given us instruction, not just to mortify or put to death, but he says, put on. And so we read that in Colossians chapter 3, 9 and following. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so what are we to put on? First of all, let us look. Bowels of mercies. This is deep compassion or heartfelt sympathy. When someone suffers, we feel their suffering. When someone is going through sorrow, we pray for them. We're there to encourage them, to help them in the time of need. Bowels of mercies, kindness. This is gentleness and goodness and attitude and action. This is a disposition that seeks to bless others through considerate words and deeds. You put off the old man and you put on a new man. You're kind with your words and how you interact with others. Humbleness of mind, the Bible says, to put on. This is a modest view of oneself in humility. This is thinking about others before thinking about yourself. In our world where they teach you, always put yourself before others. Think about number one. God says, think about others before yourself. Seek to please me in all that you do. Think about others and humbleness of mind. Meekness, gentle strength under control. This is a quiet and patient spirit that does not insist on personal rights, but trust in God. And that makes it very easy when you look at the Bible, where the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Someone who is meek understands, I don't need to fight these battles here in this earth. I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. God will take care of my battles. I will live for him. I will trust in him. Long-suffering. This is patience and endurance, especially under provocation. The ability to bear with difficult people or situations without giving way to anger or discouragement. Being long-suffering. And we need that. When people are going to poke at you for your beliefs as a Christian, when people are going to attack you for where you stand on your beliefs in the Bible, you need to be long-suffering with people. You need to trust that God will help you to be the person you ought to be, and it shows by how we live our life. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another. This is putting up or showing tolerance towards others. Bearing each other's faults and weaknesses. This is very important for unity within the church. We're in a church of imperfect people. Even though we're sinners, even though we're saved, we're sinners saved by grace. And so we have to understand we need to put up with each other because we all have our down, we all have our shortcomings. We all have things in our life that are not right, and we do our best. And so we need to forbear one another. And the Bible says forgiving one another, granting pardon or releasing resentment. This is not letting offenses This is not letting go of offenses. Someone who is not willing to forgive is not showing the love of Christ in their life. And so we need to forgive one another. When we hurt or harm and someone, we ask someone for forgiveness, and the Bible believers, we need to be quick to forgive. And we do that because the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us, even when we did not deserve it, even when we were yet sinners. Our old man is crucified, and the life that we now live, we live to glorify God. I've given an example of these things, with the things to put off, the things to put on. And I'll tell you right now, you can't do this in your own strength. The way we're able to do these things, to live the Christian life, is by casting all our care upon him, for he careth for us. Relying upon the Lord day by day. And we show our reliance by prayer and asking God to help us to be the person God wants us to be. And taking that time to speak with the Lord, taking time to be holy, taking time to learn from God. And as we take that time to learn and to grow, God is able to change our lives and make us different. And of course, we have to be willing to submit to his will and do what he wants us to do. This morning, if ye then be risen with Christ, has been the message of the title of this message. And so I have a few questions. Are you risen? Are you alive? Do you know the joy of sins forgiven? You know Jesus loves you, but have you ever asked him to be your Savior? Have you ever received that gift of salvation? Maybe here this morning you are a Christian, but you're not focusing on the eternal. Your mind is elsewhere. You're not seeking those things which are above. Start with that. Take that time to spend with God. Let your mind focus where it needs to be, and that's focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, your mind is where it ought to be. Your heart's in the right place. When God directs you, remove that old man, those sinful desires, whatever it is, as God instructs you, God helps you, remove those things and add the things that God wants in your life. Kindness, humbleness of mind, being like Christ. If we have been raised with Christ, then we can no longer live as we're still in the grave. We can't live like we still don't know God. All those things that we used to do, we can't do those things anymore. We have to live a changed life. This is walking in the Spirit. This is relying upon God. And God is there to help us. And each and every one of us need to make a decision this morning based upon where we're at. And only you know where you stand right now. And so you need to make the decision to make the next step, wherever it is. And God will help you. God will give you the strength. And God will give you what you need to do what you need to do at this moment in time. Whatever you need to do, the choice is yours. But I encourage you, make your choice for him. Make it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and prayer at this time, no looking around. I just have